بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our session number 71, level 3 fiqh, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And this is the last chapter of Kitab al-Hajj, or the last topic of Kitab al-Hajj, Ma yastahibbu fi al-Hajj. Actually, we actually completed from the textbook, level 3 fiqh book, we finished. Yani the matters that they mention here under this title. And last week we started to reading from Al-Wajiz fi fiqh al-Sunnah wal-Kitab al-Aziz. Yani from page 247 to 252, it mentions some of the Sunan of Hajj. And we started reading some of them. I'm not exactly sure where we stopped, but I believe... at the dua, you heard it? That's it then. The dua, yeah, that's number 12. I mean, that's number 13, I mean. The dua when you see the Kaaba. Okay, so now it's clear. Now we are sure where we stopped last week. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair for the recordings. So today, inshallah, we're going to continue reading from Al-Wajiz, whatever we can. And if there's any time, maybe we'll take some points from Manasik Al-Hajj Wal-Umrah. This will be the last session, Bi'idhni Allah Ta'ala, from reading from this topic. And next week, inshallah, we'll do the questions from the Level 3 Fiqh book. We'll do the questions from the Level 3 Fiqh book. So in any case, as we were reading from Al-Wajiz, some of the things that we mentioned, which were not in the original textbook, was the discussion concerning yani the clothing that a person should wear when they enter Ihram, two white pieces of cloth, upper garment and a lower garment. And also, yani if a person is coming from Medina, the Salat in Wadi Al-Aqiq, whoever came through that way. And then we also mention, yani before reciting the tawbiyah for entering into Ihram, yani saying Alhamdulillah and Subhanallah and Allahu Akbar, as mentioned in some of the hadith, we talked about that a little bit. The ihlal, yani meaning reciting the tawbiyah for entering into Ihram, mustaqbil al-qibla, yani facing the qibla, yani reciting the tawbiyah for entering Ihram, facing the qibla. And then we mention, yani spending the night in the tuwa, and taking a ghusl before entering Mecca and entering during the daytime. And these are some of the sunan that are almost never practiced today because of the difficulties of yani stopping on the road and things like that. We also mentioned yani what you yani from the sunnahs of what is always to be observed when you're entering a masjid, stepping in with your right foot and reciting one of the supplications from the Prophet, like A'udhu Billahi Al-Azim, Uwajih Al-Kareem, Sultan Al-Kadim, Min Ash-Shaytan Al-Wajim, to the end of what the Prophet used to say when entering the masjid. And then we stopped on point number 13 from Al-Wajiz, وَإِذَا رَأَى الْبَيْتِ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ إِنْ شَاءَ. Yani that if a person sees the Kaaba, when they first see the Kaaba, if they like, they may raise their hands, as this has been affirmed from Abdullah ibn Abbas, and they may recite with whatever is easy for them, or they may recite the supplication of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, fahayyina rabbana bis salam. O Allah, you are as-salam, and salam comes from you, and may you bring us to life upon salam. If a person recites this supplication, then this is yani good. It has been confirmed from yani from Umar ibn al-Khattab. All right, so this is these are some of the points that we covered last week in terms of things that were not mentioned previously. From the things that are mentioned that were mentioned previously, point number 14 from the Sunan of at-Tawaf. From the Sunan of at-Tawaf, we mentioned previously al-ittiba, yani that is taking the upper garment, the ridha, and bringing it underneath the armpit of the right shoulder, so that the right shoulder is uncovered. And we also mentioned touching the black stone. That was point number 15 at Al-Wajiz. We mentioned that from the other book, touching the black stone. And I think we also mentioned kissing the black stone from the textbook, level 3 fiqh book, kissing the black stone. And by the way, there's a hadith here that I think is worth mentioning, even though we mentioned kissing the black stone. The hadith of Zayd ibn Aslam from his father, He said, I saw Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu kissing the black stone, and he said, that is Umar said, لَوْلَا أَنِّي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَبَلْتُكَ قَبَلْتَكَ مَا قَبَلْتُكَ مَا قَبَلْتُكَ. يعني, if I had not seen the Messenger of Allah kissing you, meaning the black stone, then I would not have kissed you. The significance of this is that, yani first, this is a proof that the Prophet ﷺ kissed the black stone, and it's also yani a good proof for the importance of following the example of the Prophet ﷺ and not going beyond it. Omar, he said, if I had not seen the Messenger of Allah kissing you, I would not have kissed you. I'm only kissing you, yani, because the Messenger of Allah ﷺ kissed you. It's just a stone. It's a stone. I wouldn't be kissing you, except that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing it. Yani, yeah, it's not based on intellect. It's based on following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a beautiful statement from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And this narration from Umar is reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim.
Sheikh, I have a question. Regarding the black stone, I heard it came from the Jannah, is it true?
Allahu a'alam. Naam. Inshallah. It is a fact that the black stone was white and that it was turned black from the sins of the people. Naam. Point number 17. As-sujood alayhi. This was not mentioned in the level 3 fiqh book. Yani, that is from the sunnah. To prostrate upon the black stone. Yani, the black stone is not on the ground, right? So that means that it means putting your forehead on the stone, yani, as touching it, as well as kissing it, as well as putting your forehead on the stone. This narrated from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He said, I saw Umar ibn al-Khattab, yani, his father, kissing the black stone and prostrating upon it. And then he said, when he came around, he turned again and he kissed it and he prostrated upon it. And then he, Umar radiallahu anhu, said, Hakada Ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how I saw the Messenger of Allah doing it. This is how I saw the Messenger of Allah doing it. Shaykh al-Albani said in Irwa al-Ghilal, this hadith is Hassan. It's also mentioned by al-Bazzar. Tayyib, after this, point number 18 was also not mentioned in our level 3 fiqh book. At-Takbir in the Rukn. Yani, meaning the black stone. Yani, saying Allahu Akbar. Saying Allahu Akbar at the when the person comes to the black stone. This is from the hadith of Abd ibn Abbas. May Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made tawaf around the house on a camel. كُلُّ مَا أَتَى الرُّكْنَ أَشَارَ إِلَيْهِ بِشَيْءٍ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ وَكَبَّرَ. Yani every time he came to the corner of the Kaaba where the black stone is at, he pointed to it with something, yani something that he had with him, and he said, Allahu Akbar, wa kabbar. So this is also a point, yani, that when a person reaches the black stone, not only do they touch it and kiss it and prostrate upon it, or at least, yani, point towards it if they can't get near close to it, but they also should say, Allahu Akbar. Point number 19 was mentioned previously, that is a ramal, that is walking short, quick steps, yani in the first three circuits around the of the tawaf, around the Kaaba. And then walking regular in the last four circuits around the Kaaba. Point number 19, Ramal. Point number 20, Istilam Rukn al-Yamani, touching the Yamani corner. This was mentioned previously, we said, that only the Yamani corner and the black stone is touched when you're going around the Kaaba. And I guess I don't see it mentioned here, so we should mention that touching the black stone, I mean the Yamani corner, is from the Sunnah. However, it is not from the Sunnah to point to it. If a person is not able to touch it, you should just pass it. Yani, unlike the black stone, if you can't touch it, you should point towards it. The Yamani corner, if you can't touch it, there's nothing for you to do. Huh? There's nothing to recite when you're touching it. Point number 21 wasn't mentioned in the level 3 fiqh book. And yad'u bayna ruknain bihadha dua. Yani, when you're, after you pass the Yamani corner and you're going to the black stone corner, in between them, a person should supplicate with this supplication, that is an ayah from the Quran, from Surah Al-Baqarah. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And the meaning of it is? Meaning of it is? آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا. And give us حَسَنَا in this dunya, and فِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا, and give us in the hereafter good. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and he protect us from the punishment of the fire. And this is a very important supplication that we can say on any occasion, but specifically in reference to Hajj, it's related that this supplication is recited between the black stone and the Yamani corner, which is just before the black stone, to recite this supplication. 22, we mentioned previously. I said that if a person is not able to touch the black stone, then they should point towards it with their right hand. Otherwise, that is different from the Yamani corner. You should touch it when you go past it. But if you can't touch it, you should not point towards it. Different than the black stone, right? Point number 22, we mentioned previously, I said, Salatul Rakatain, Ba'da Tawaf, Khawf al-Makham, yani praying 2 rak'ah. After completing the 7 circuits of Tawaf, praying 2 rak'ah behind the Maqam Ibrahim. Praying 2 rak'ah behind the Maqam Ibrahim. This should be done before going to the mountain of Safar and Marwa to make Sa'i. Point number 23. And this was not mentioned in level 3 fiqh book. And يقرأ عند المقام قبل الصلاة واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم المصلى. Yani that a person should recite this ayah from the Quran at the time when they're approaching the Maqam Ibrahim. Yani when you go to the Maqam Ibrahim, before praying behind it, the Prophet ﷺ recited this ayat, which is a command from Allah in the Quran, where Allah says, واتخذوا, yani in the plural, min maqami Ibrahima musalla, yani meaning take the place, the station of Ibrahim alayhi salam as a musalla, as a place of prayer. Meaning, so Allah in this ayat ordered us to pray behind the maqam Ibrahim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us that the time and place of that prayer is yani after the completion of the tawaf, yani to after completing the tawaf to pray behind maqam Ibrahim. واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم المصلى ها بقرة سورة بقرة سورة بقرة is quite vast. Give us an ayah please. Try to find an ayah for us. No. Yeah, the number of the ayah. Because if you look for it in Sورة بقرة, it's quite, it's going to be a long look, right? Unless you have some idea with that. Anyway, alhamdulillah, we know it's in Surah Al-Baqarah. That's the start. Anyway, reading this ayat before you do what Allah ordered you to do in this. And the point is, the ayat is a command for us to pray this prayer. Now, before we pray, huh? 125. So let me write that here for future reference. Yeah, 125. Jazakum Allah khairan. And also, from the sunnah that's mentioned here in 23, which was not mentioned previously, I mean it wasn't mentioned in the book, though we may have like mentioned it in passing, is in those 2 rak'ah behind Maqam Ibrahim, the person should recite in those 2 rak'ah after Al-Fatiha, Kul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun and Kul Hu Allahu Ahad. Yani, in each of those rak'ah, reciting one of those surahs. And then a person should drink from Zamzam and then go to the mountain of Safar. Point number 24 is not also mentioned in level 3 fiqh book. No? Did I leave out something? Uh-huh. Naam. Yeah, that's what I didn't read it, but I just summarize it. Yeah, and he said that to recite at the Maqam Ibrahim, qabla salat, before praying, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. And then to recite in those two rak'ah, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهُ الْكَافِرُونَ and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. And then he mentions the hadith. And he, for the sake of time, I'm skipping some things just for the sake of time. But okay, the hadith is the hadith of Jabir that the Prophet ﷺ, when he finished from the Maqam Ibrahim ﷺ, انْتَهَى إِلَى, yani when he reached the Maqam Ibrahim, not when he finished from it, when he reached the Maqam Ibrahim, then he recited this ayat, وَاتَّقِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. And then he prayed two rak'ah, and he used to recite in those two rak'ah, meaning after Al-Fatiha, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, and after Al-Fatiha in the next rak'ah, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Point number 24, not mentioned in our level 3 fiqh book. And by the way, this is the 13th sunnah that's not mentioned in level 3 fiqh book. It's in Wajiz, point number 24, التزام مَا بَيْنَ رُكْن وَالْ Bab. Yani that a person performs what's called iltizam. Yani putting their body up against the wall between the ruqan, yani the black stone, and the bab, the door of the Kaaba. Yani where the black stone is at? If you're going around the Kaaba, as soon as you pass the black stone, that's where the door of the Kaaba is at. It's elevated, right? In between the door and the black stone, that space of the Kaaba is called the multazim, the place where you perform iltizam. This is from the sunnah. That is to put your chest and your face and your forearms up against the wall. This is based on the hadith of Amr ibn Shu'ayb from his father and his grandfather. He said, I performed tawaf with Abdullah ibn Amr. And then when he finished from it, yani from making a sab'ah, seven circuits around the Kaaba, raka'ana fi dubr al-Kaaba. Then we performed, yani salat. At the back of the, at the end of the Kaaba. I said to him, will you not seek refuge in Allah from the fire? And he said, I seek refuge in Allah from the fire. He said, then we went past, yani we went on, فَاسْتَلَمَ الرُّكْن, and we touched the corner, meaning the black stone. ثُمَّ قَامَ بَيْنَ الْحَجَرِ وَالْبَابِ, then he stood between the Hajar al-Aswad, and the bab, the door of the Kaaba, he stood there. فَأَلْصَقَى صَدْرَهُ وَيَدَيْهِ وَخَدَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Yani he made his chest stick to the wall. Yani he stood up against the wall. And his hands, and in the explanation of it, means the whole of his arms, forearms, hands and arms. And his cheeks, yani meaning his face, his whole body was against the wall. ثُمَّ قَالَ هَكَذَا رَأَيْتُ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yafal. He said, this is the way I saw the Messenger of Allah doing it. Yani, at this place between the black stone and the door of the Kaaba. Huh? Yeah, it's possible, but if it's crowded, it's difficult. It's the same difficulty of touching the black stone. Equally, it's going to be difficult to stand there and supplicate. No, not everybody touched the black stone. Most people don't touch the black stone. It's not possible. It's very difficult. Point number 25. Not all the time. I mean, I myself have stood there many times, so many times. It depends on, yani, who is there, how crowded it is. It's a lot of different things.
It was over. They didn't give the people. They were standing there, but...
But they weren't stopping people. And it depends. Sometimes they stop people, sometimes they don't. It depends. Even the guards themselves, they're just regular people. And they're not ulama, tulab al-ilm. They're just soldiers. They're an army and police. That's all. So every guy, he's different from one person to the next, right? Some of them were crazy people, and some of them, mashallah, fear Allah. So it depends. It may be different. Yani, it's not easy to do. But sometimes you can do it. And it's possible. It's not impossible. It depends on the time when you're there. Depends on how crowded it is. Depends on circumstances. All of that. Ultimately, in the end, right? It's by the decree of Allah. Allah allows you. Allah just opens the way. Khalas, easy.
When addition to that, though, I'm saying, like you say, at the bath, you can't get to the bath, right?
Yeah.
There's no additional dual, right?
No. If you can't get there, there's nothing. No. If you can't touch the black stone, you can signal to it with your hand.
Right.
Other than that, no. There's nothing for that place. Tayyip, after this, point number 25, this is the last of things related to Tawaf. Shurb min zamzam wa ghasl al-ra's bihi li hadith Jabir an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa'alu. Yani drinking from the zamzam and washing your head with it, meaning pouring the zamzam over your head. Pouring the zamzam over your head. Yani drinking from it and pouring it over your head. And although he didn't mention here, but he mentioned other places, in Hajj al-Nabi, Shaykh al-Albani has a book called Hajj al-Nabi, where he brought all the narrations that are authentic from all the books of hadith that are available. And he brought the narration of Jabir ibn Abdullah, which is the most comprehensive narration of the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he brought it from all the collections of hadith where it was found, so that every aspect of it was brought. And there he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Shaykh al-Albani may have mentioned it in Manasik al-Hajj also. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Zamzam lima shuriba lahu." I mean, Zamzam is for whatever it is drunk for. So a person should supplicate there and ask Allah for whatever they will. I don't know. The one they sell here, is it real Zamzam or is it fake? I don't know. I hope it's real. I hope it's real. I don't know. So this is from the Sunnah to drink from Zamzam and also to pour the water over your head. Naam. Huh? Naam. Allahu A'lam. Yani, I mean, that's what Ali ibn Abi Talib said. He said that someone better than me did this, drinking standing. But it was drinking Zamzam. No, and some of the scholars say the reason for that is because you can't sit down in the middle of the Tawaf. At the Kaaba, you can't sit because too many people, they'll trample over you. So he drank standing. Yani, because of need or necessity. Otherwise, a person, you should sit, yani, if possible. But Zamzam, no problem. If you drink Zamzam standing, inshallah, it's good. Because, yani, it's like seen this way and that way. Point number 26, yani, under the Sunan of Asai, the going back and forth between Safar and Marwa. Point number 26, not mentioned in the Level 3 Fiqh book, Istilam al-Rukn ala Nahwa al-Sabiq. Yani, he said that touching the black stone in the way that has been mentioned before, meaning kissing it, prostrating on it, and also saying Allahu Akbar. Yani doing all of that, okay? And this, the meaning of this is that a person should go back to the black stone before they go to Sa'i. Yani they finish Tawaf, they pray to Rakam Ibrahim, they drank from Zamzam, they should go back to the black stone and touch it and kiss it and prostrate on it, or at least point to it before making Sa'i. Naam. That's from the Sunnah. Okay, so this is point number 26, Istilam al-Rukn. Yani meaning touching the black stone again, after you finish Tawaf, and you finish the two rakah, and you drank from Zamzam, before you go to Safa and Marwa, you're supposed to go back and touch the black stone. And he said, ala nahwa at-sabik, yani the way we mentioned it before, that is, yani, kissing it, prostrating, and all of that. Touching, kissing, prostrating, saying Allahu Akbar. If you can't, then at least, yani, you point to it with your right hand, and then you go to the mountain of As-Safar. Point number 27. We mentioned this previously, the recitation of the ayah, Inna Safa wal Marwata min Sha'arillah. Yani that indeed, As-Safa, the mountain of Safa and the mountain of Marwa, these are from the signs or the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever makes Hajj to the house or makes Umrah, then there's no blame on them that they make, yani Tawaf Bihima. Tawaf Bihima, yani meaning going between Safa and Marwa here, not around the Kaaba. That means between Safa and Marwa. And whoever, يعني ومن تطوع خير فإن الله شاكر عليم, that whoever يعني does good willingly, extra voluntarily, then indeed Allah is شاكر عليم. يعني Allah is appreciative, recognizes the good that they do, and Allah knows it. ثم يقرأ نبدأ بما بدأ الله به. And then you recite, after you recite that ayah, then you should say, we begin with what Allah began with. And that is, in the ayah, Allah began with the mountain of As-Safar, and then he mentioned Marwa. So we begin the sa'i with As-Safar, and then we go to Marwa. And this should be said at the time when a person is near to the mountain of Safa, yani about to perform either dana min as-Safa li-Sa'i, yani when you came close to Safa, yani when you're getting ready to start the Sa'i. And you recite this ayat and you recite this statement. Point number 28, we mentioned before, facing the Qibla, yani facing the Kaaba, when the person is on the mountain of Safa. And even though you're not going to be on it now, but when you're at the foot of it or near it, and you're facing the Kaaba, and then you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, three times. And then you say, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وحزم الأحزاب وحده ثم يدعو بما شاء يفعل مثل ذلك ثلاث مرات. يعني that a person when they're standing on the mountain of Safa, they should be facing the Kaaba, say Allahu Akbar three times, then they say, يعني there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, he has no partners, to him is the dominion, the kingdom, and to him is the praise, and he has power over everything. And then they say, لا إله إلا الله وحده, yani there's nothing deserves worship except Allah alone. Anjaza wa'adahu means he has fulfilled his promise. Wa nasara abdahu, and he has helped, supported, and given victory to his servant. Wa hazam al ahzab wahdahu, he has defeated the confederates, the enemies that came together, the allies against the Muslims. He defeated them alone. Thumma yad'u bima sha'a, and then after saying this recitation, persons should supplicate with whatever they will. And then they should do the same thing again, yani saying these words again, and supplicating and saying these words again for a third time, three times. Three times. Thalathan, thalatha marratin. Then point number 29, huh?
What is the supplication?
The supplication is a long supplication. We have to take it from the book, right? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Then, لا إله إلا الله وحده, again, يعني لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. Three times. No, you say it three times on Safar. And then you say it three times on Marwa. And then you say it three times on Safar. And then you say it three times on Marwa. And then you say it three times on Safa, and then you say it three times on Marwa, ending with Marwa, right? So it's a lot of times. And you say it three times every time you're standing on the mountain of Safa, every time you're standing on the mountain of Marwa. Point number 29, we mentioned previously, running between the two green markings. Yani, sa'yan shadidan. Like really running, running. If you're able to, in the crowd, right? Point number 30, not mentioned in the level 3 fiqh book, this is the 17th point of the sunnah that's not mentioned in level 3 fiqh book. And that's not a criticism of level 3 fiqh book. It's just that, that's a summary, right? And this is a little more detail, and Shaykh al-Albani gave you even more details than they mention here. Point number 30, and yafa'al ala marwa ma fa'ala ala safar min istiqbal al-bayt wa dhikr wa du'a. You do the same thing on al-marwa that you did on a safar. That is facing the Kaaba, making dhikr and making a du'a. And then on page 252, the last point that they mentioned from the Sunan, yani is related to the Sunan of Khuruj ila Mina, yani from Mecca to Mina. Here, what he's talking about, right, he's talking about, okay, after you went to, from Safar al Marwa, you finished the Umrah, you finished the Umrah. Okay, that's the end of that, right? But it's not really the end, right? Because then you have to cut your hair, clip your hair or shave your head, right? Depending on the situation and circumstance. After that, they came to Sunan al-Khuruj min Mina, ila Mina, from Mecca. Point number 31, al-Ihram bil-Hajj, yawm al-Tarwiyah, min manzilihi, yani fi Mecca. This is on the 8th, right? That a person enters the state of Ihram for Hajj now, because they finished their Umrah, they got out of Ihram, if they're making tamattu, which is better, and that's what they should do. Then they, on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, they enter the state of Ihram for the performance of pilgrimage. On the day of Tarawiyah, which is the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, and they enter the state of Ihram, not from the Miqat, but from wherever they are residing. Point number 32, And this is the 18th point, not mentioned in the level 3 fiqh book. Salat al-Dhuhr, wal-Asr, wal-Maghrib, wal-Isha, bi-Mina, yawm al-Tarawiyah. That a person performs the Salat al-Dhuhr in Mina. Yani meaning that they should go to Mina in time to pray Salat al-Dhuhr, and Salat al-Asr, and Salat al-Maghrib, and Salat al-Isha. All of them in Mina on the day of Tarawiyah, the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. Wal-Mabit biha, and then they should spend the night in Mina. حَتَّى يُصَلِّي الْفَجَرْ وَتَطْلَى الشَّمْسِ. And they should, yani, spend the night there until they perform the Fajr prayer in Mina. And they should also stay there until, yani, the sun rises. Until the sun rises. Meaning they should not leave before sunrise. Which is different than what we read previously concerning Arafah. I mean, when a person, not Arafat, when they left from Arafat and they went to Muzdalifah, they should stay after the Fajr prayer in Muzdalifah until the sky is bright, but they should leave before sunrise. Here, yani, you shouldn't leave from, yani, you shouldn't leave until after sunrise. Until after sunrise. This is spending the night in Mina and praying the Fajr prayer in Mina until the sun has risen, and then you may leave Mina to go to Arafah. Point number 32, we mentioned previously, and it says here, Salat al-Dhuhr wal-Asr jam'an wa qasran. Praying Salat al-Dhuhr and Asr, combining the two prayers and shortening both of them from 4 rak'ah to 2 rak'ah, says here, bin namira, on the day of Arafah. Bin namira. But actually, should be that those prayers should be prayed in urana. In any case, that's how it came here, praying Salat al-Dhuhr in Namira, on Yawm al-Arafat. After leaving Mina, going to Arafat. Okay, the person stopped at Namira, and then Urana, and then Arafat. Point number 34, that a person should not leave from Arafat, قَبْلَ غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ. Yani once you get to Arafat, you shouldn't leave from there until the sun is actually set. When the sun has set, you went below the horizon, you may leave immediately, without delay. You don't have to wait until it's dark. But the sun has to have actually set. And then that's where it stops at, point number 34. The next thing it says, Arkan al-Hajj, we already covered the Arkan al-Hajj previously. Yani the Arkan al-Hajj, the essential pillars of Hajj, they are what? 4. We said, there's some difference of opinion about it, but that which is agreed upon, the Arkan of Hajj are? Niyyah. Yani Ihram, entering the state of Ihram or Niyyah. Al-Wukuf bi-Arafah, at least some part of the day of the night, or the night, part of the day of the night, and La Arkan, the essential 4 pillars. Tawaf, yeah, and Sa'i. Tawaf and Sa'i. Yani, into the state of Ihram, the Niyyah for Ihram, and spending some part of the day or the night at Arafah, and Tawaf and Sa'i. Those are the pillars, essential pillars of Hajj. And as far as the Wajibat of Hajj, Nam, spending the night in Muzdalifah, some of the scholars said that also is included, yani, spending the night in Muzdalifah. But most of them said that it's from the Wajibat. So the Wajibat of Hajj, we said, are how many?
7.
First of them? First of them. Al-Ihram min al-Miqat. Ihram min al-Miqat. Because Ihram, entering the state of Ihram, is from the Arkan of Hajj. But entering it from the Miqat is from the Wajibat. Second thing?
In order,
huh? Yeah, why not in order? In the order that you're going to do them. Okay, no order. Give me any of them. Wajibat. Shaving the head is one. That's two. Mabit Mina. Spending the night in Mina. Spending the night in Muzdalifah. Sewing the Jamara. That's 5. That's not wajib, tafdeel. The halq is the halq is wajib, but not giving preference to one or the other. Huh? Tawaf al-wada, the farewell tawaf. That's 6 or 7. What did we miss? Spending the nights at Mina. Spending the nights at Mina, spending the nights at Muzdalifah. Spending, yani, staying at Arafat until sunset, into the state of Ihram and from the Miqat, and cutting the hair, throwing the stones, and the farewell tawaf. Farewell tawaf. Everything else after that is sunnah. We mentioned a lot of them. Maybe we didn't mention everything. Naam. Okay, now inshallah we have a couple of minutes. What time is it? How much time do we have? The questions today? Maybe everybody didn't have a chance to. Maybe they didn't have a chance to. If we do them just from our minds, you wrote the answers? All of them? No? So then it will take a lot more time if we don't have written answers. Okay? It will take a lot more time. It will take a lot more time. Okay, I'll just mention quickly a couple of points that we may have mentioned, but I just want to emphasize. One very important point, Yani, the prayer on the day of Arafat, or on the night after Arafat, should be performed in Muzdalifah. And it should be performed, if possible, immediately upon arriving in Muzdalifah. And it should be performed combining Maghrib al-Isha and shortening Isha with one adhan and two iqamah. And there's no prayers between them or after them. And after the Prophet performed them, he didn't make any sunnah prayers. He slept until Fajr. This is a very important point. Some people are spending the night in Muzdalifah praying. That's not from the sunnah. That's contrary to the sunnah. I just want to mention that because a lot of people do like that. Also, Naam.
Even if the person is not sleeping, they should pour themselves. No, I asked the question already. You said the person is going to be tired.
Generally. I mean...
I'm just worried if you don't feel sleepy...
If a person is not sleepy, they should rest. Just lay there and rest. Because the next day they have so much to do. Maybe you might be walking from Muzdalifah to Mina. Then you have to go to the Jamarat, which... If anybody has been to Hajj, yani it's not just walking. It's walking, yes, in crowds of people, millions of people. And throwing those stones is a task. It's rough. I mean, it's rough. So after that, then a person has to go to the place of sacrifice and sacrifice the animal. And maybe they have to carry it back to where they're going or someplace. Then after that, they have to get their hair cut or shaved. Then after that, they have to go to Mecca and make tawaf. And if they're making tamattu, they have to make tawaf and sa'i. All that one day. And a person needs to rest before that day. They should not be praying any whatever. They should be resting. Also, I mentioned already that yani from Muzdalifah, after praying Fajr at Muzdalifah, standing, making dhikr and dua, that a person should remain standing, making dhikr and dua until the sky is bright. But they should leave before sunrise. Before sunrise. Because the pagans did not used to leave from Muzdalifah until after sunrise. Also, yani on the first day of stoning, yani on the 10th, right? Only the big Jamarat is stoned. That is the one that's closest to Mecca. The big Jamarat is the last one. First came the small one, and then the middle one, and then the big one. Person should be facing the Jamarat. Yani with Mina on their right side and Mecca on their left side. As opposed to the next day when they stone each of the pillars, yani they're actually stoning the little one and the middle one facing Mecca. Facing Mecca. But the big one, he said, the Shaykh mentions here what? That the person should not be facing Mecca. Rather, Mina should be on their right, Mecca should be on their left, and they should be facing the big Jamarat, Jamarat al-Aqaba. Seven stones are thrown, every time saying Allahu Akbar. And Shaykh al-Albani mentions here, وَيَقْطَعَ التَّلْبِيَ مَا آخِرَ الْحَصَى. Yani that he, Shaykh al-Albani is saying here, that the talbiya should be still being recited until they threw the last stone at the big Jamara on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. This, I don't think anybody mentioned any book like this before. No. You're talking about on the first day or the other days? On the first day, you're only going to stone the big one, right? Okay, so the big one is closest to Mecca. Yeah. So you're going down from Mina towards Mecca. When you get to the end, to the big one, Mecca is in front of you. So Mecca should be on your left side. And Mina, which is behind you, should be on your right side. And you should be facing the pillar. But how do you know that you're facing from the right angle? Because Mecca is on your left side, and Mina is on your right side. You should be standing in between Mecca and Mina, on your right and left side. And then you're facing the pillar. Huh? Yeah, you're hitting the target, inshallah, if you can. No. No, as long as it goes inside the circle, which is like as big as if you can't get inside there, that means that that means that you are not good at throwing. Can't miss it. No, you can't miss it. Also, Sheikh Albani says, "La yarmiha illa ba'd tulu' al-shams." This is very important. The people left from Muzdalifa, yani, they should supposed to pray Fajr at Muzdalifa. The Prophet allowed the people who are weak, sick people, women who can't do it, he allowed them to leave after midnight or after the moon sets. That's like just before Fajr. Those people who left early are not allowed to throw stones until after sunrise. No matter what time they got into Mina, no matter how early they left, it's not permissible to throw stones until after sunrise, even for the people who left early. That means they left early, they got there first, but they have to wait until after sunrise. If the people threw the stones in the middle of the night when they got there, it's invalid. So he said, you cannot throw the stones until after sunrise. Even if it's from the women or the du'afa, the weak people, who were given permission to leave early from Muzdalifah after midnight or whatever, even those people, they are not allowed to throw stones until after sunrise. Leaving early is one thing, and throwing the stones is another thing. They have nothing to do with each other. Yeah, different levels. So that means they need to reduce the crowding, right? Yeah. So everybody's not in one place.
Yeah.
Some people here, some people there, whatever, like that. Nah. So they made it easier.
Yeah.
But easier doesn't mean easy.
Yeah, sure.
If you get the point. And also he said, throwing the stones, even if you, after sunrise, maybe some people are throwing stones up until dhuhr. He said, even if you didn't get it done, even after dhuhr, even if it came tonight, you can still throw it at night. Is there anything left unclear concerning what we discussed? Not the outside questions, concerning what we discuss.
Yes, sir.
Now.
Regarding the walking path between the two green or two
green markers, paths, yes.
Is running or walking path that legislated also for women or just for men?
Yeah, Sheikh Al-Albani said it's legislated for women as well. However, yani, if it's a crowded place, then there's considerations, yani, that the difficulty for women, as well as there's another consideration, and that is, yani, the physical appearance, yani, the physical body of the woman running, yani, depending on how she's dressed, that might be not permissible. That might not be permissible. That has to be considered. Anyway, most of the scholars said the women should not run. Sheikh Al-Albani said that it's sunnah. Yani, the origin of it is, who was running between Safa and Marwa? Hajar, a woman, right? So, yani, in any case, there's difference of opinion about it. It's probably, Allahu A'lam, I would think that it's best for women not to run. I mean, it's not just the physical ability to run. That's part of it, maybe. But the other thing is that, yani, women, maybe their body became visible or apparent because they're running, the movement of the body. That's not good. So, Allahu A'lam. Yani, in any case, it's sunnah, right? It's not wajib. So we have to consider that. There was nobody there. There was nobody there. There was not a single human being present. Now, any question about what we covered today? Yani, something that's not clear. Okay, now. Because this, the sunan that they mentioned came up to that point where we stopped at. Okay, in terms of the slaughter, right? Let's see. Sheikh Al-Albani says, concerning the slaughter. Okay, let's see your question. Sheikh Al-Albani says in Manasik Al-Hajj, point 95, ثُمَّ يَأْتِي الْمَنْحَرْ فِي مِنَى فَيَنْحَرْ هَدْيَهُ. Then a person comes to the place of slaughter in Mina, and he makes his sacrifice. This is sunnah. You need to make it in that particular place, but rather, if a person makes a sacrifice, any place in Mina is permissible. Rather, in some of the narrations, the Prophet ﷺ said, even in Mecca. Even in Mecca. Here the Sheikh says, point 96. Lakin yajuz lahu an yanha fi ay. Yeah. It's permissible for a person to make the sacrifice in any other place from Mina, likewise in Mecca. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, I have slaughtered here, yani in this particular place, the slaughtering area of Mina. Wa Mina kulluha manha. But the whole of Mina is a place of slaughter, and even the pathways to Mecca and the roads to Mecca, yani all of them are places of slaughter. So slaughter, even in your tents, wherever you are, it doesn't make a difference. Then he said, the sunnah is to, yani make the dhabh or the nahr, yani the dhabh for the small animal, nahr for a camel, yani by stabbing it in the upper part of the chest. He said that it's sunnah to do this with your hand, yourself, meaning if it is easy for you to do so, otherwise you may appoint someone else to do it on your behalf. The Prophet ﷺ slaughtered 100 animals, most of them he did himself. 63, and Ali did 37. And then he said, يَذْبَحَهَا, and you should slaughter that facing مُسْتَقْبِلًا biha al-qibla, yani facing the direction of the qibla. Na'am. He was very strong, mashallah. The small animal, when you slaughter it, you should lay it down on the ground. The big animal, like a camel, should be slaughtered standing up. And at the time of slaughtering, the person should say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma inna hadha minka walaka, Allahumma taqabbal minni. Yani, in the name of Allah, Allah is the greatest. Allahumma inna hadha minka walaka, this is from you, and it is for you. O Allah, accept it from me. The time of the sacrifice are the 4 days of the Eid, meaning the day of Nahr, the day of Eid, and the days of Tashriq, yani the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, and 13th. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Kullu ayyamin at-tashriq dhabhun. All the days of Tashriq are slaughtered, not just the 10th, but the 11th, 12th, and 13th. And also he said that it is permissible for a person to eat from their sacrificial animal, and also to take some of it back with them to their country, as the Prophet ﷺ did. And also he said it's permissible, yani, for 7 people to share in the sacrifice of a camel or a cow. Naam. That's right. 7 people get credit for making sacrifice if they slaughter a camel or a cow. 7 people. Whoever didn't find a sacrifice, then it's upon that person to fast 3 days during the Hajj, and 7 days when they return home. And the person who's obligated to make a sacrifice, meaning the person who's making tamattur, it's obligatory for them to make a sacrifice. If they can't do it, they don't have any money, they have to fast 3 days during Hajj, even if it's, yani it will be the days of Tashriq. It's permissible. It's not permissible to fast during those days, except the person who is unable to make a sacrifice, then he may fast those days of Tashriq for his 3 days in Hajj, and then he has to complete the 7 days when he returns home. It's permissible also for him to fast, he says that, the days of Tashriq, the 3 days, because of the hadith of Aisha and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, they said the Prophet ﷺ gave permission for fasting the days of Tashriq. He didn't give permission to fast the days of Tashriq, except for the person who wasn't able to make a sacrifice. After this, yani after making the sacrifice, the person should cut or shave their head, and the first of them shaving the head is preferable because of the hadith that we mentioned previously, where the Prophet prayed for the people who shave their heads 3 times, and then finally for the person who cuts their hair. It's sunnah also for the barber, when cutting the hair, to start with the right side of the head, as the Prophet instructed the barber to do in his case. It's also al-halq khasa, yani the shaving of the head is peculiar, exclusively for men, to the exclusion of women. Rather, for women, what they should do is just bring the hair together, yani in one braid like, and just clip the amount of a fingertip from the hair. It's also, naam? I mean, whoever's going to cut the hair, it doesn't have to be a barber. It could be just your neighbor or your partner in Hajj, whatever. No, the right side of your head. Yeah, the right side of your head. If the barber is in front of you, it's not his right, it's your right. If the barber is behind you, then both of you have the same right. Now,
you also shaved the head, and when you made the umrah also, right?
You cut or shave the head for Umrah?
So now I'm saying, so when you go to make the Hajj, you should leave some of the hair to be shaved, shouldn't
you? Yeah, so the thing is, that's why I said it depends on the circumstances.
Right.
I said cutting or shaving depends on the circumstances, right? If a person came for Umrah,
right,
yani in the month of Shawwal,
okay,
2 months before Hajj,
yeah, yeah,
then they can shave their head.
Right.
In 2 months, they'll have hair, right?
Have
if a person came
right
for Umrah on the 4th of Dhul Hijjah,
right,
4 days before Hajj,
right,
then maybe they should just cut their hair, not
right
shave it,
right,
because they want to make sure that they have hair to shave for the Hajj. So it depends on the circumstance. Now,
okay,
now.
Also, I mean, if everybody has to sacrifice their animal, would it be enough animal for
yes, it will be enough animals because they're businessmen, right? Selling animals. Don't worry, they will not have a shortage. They will come prepared. The problem may be somebody doesn't have money. There won't be a problem that there's no animals. There are plenty of animals. Okay, Tawaf al-Ifada. The Tawaf al-Ifada. Naam, you have a hand up?
Yeah.
Naam.
You may have mentioned this now, like that from the Prophet sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa
did not give the people the right to fast on the
days of Tashrik.
Right. Except
the one who couldn't make a sacrifice,
and
it's obligatory for him to make a sacrifice, he has to fast 3 days during Hajj and 7 days when he returns home. Okay, so Hajj is on the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th. So he doesn't have much opportunity. So that person, because the amount of days he has to fast, 3 days at some point. Okay? And he doesn't have a lot of opportunity, so he has permission, even if he fasts the days of Tashrik. Even if he fasts the days of Tashrik.
It would be difficult, because it's not like it's going to be easy, because just performing the rites and the heat, things like this.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to fast, for sure.
Yeah,
no doubt. To offer the father. Then the person comes, and the same day that they made the sacrifice and shaved their head and did all of that, and the same day they're going to make Tawaf al-Ifadah, they're going to come and make 7 circuits around the Kaaba, just as they did in Tawaf al-Qudum, except the only difference, no Itiba and no Ramal. Yani not uncovering the shoulder and not running fast in the first 3 circuits. It's also from the Sunnah to pray, 2 rak'ah, at the place of the Maqam Ibrahim, yani after making the Tawaf al-Ifadah. Then the person should make yani the sa'i between Safar and Marwa in the same way that we mentioned previously for the Umrah, except that this is for the person who is making Hajj tamattu',
right,
yani Hajj and Umrah in separate ihram. As far as the Qarin who's joining Hajj and Umrah in one ihram, he never got out of ihram, and the Mufrid, yani the person who's making Ifrad, making Hajj by itself without Umrah, then the first Umrah he made when he came is sufficient for them. But as far as the tamattu', he has to make the first tawaf, and the first sa'i, that he made. The person who is joining Hajj and Umrah, they only have to make sa'i one time. When they made it upon arrival in Umrah, that's sufficient. They don't have to make it a second time when they make tawaf al-Ifadah. Person who is making ifrad, making Hajj alone with no Umrah, when he came, he still has to, yani entering Mecca, he has to make, yani even though he's not considering it as Umrah, but that sa'i that he makes when he came counts for his Hajj. So he doesn't have to make sa'i again. But the mutamatti has to make 2 times sa'i. When he first arrived and after coming back from Arafat. With this, the person who has made this tawaf and this sa'i, then everything became lawful for him, including relations with the spouse. Then the person should pray Dhuha in Mecca, and Ibn Umar said Mina, difference of opinion about this, and then they should drink from Zamzam, and then they should go back to Mina, and they should stay in Mina for the nights of Tashriq, and throw the stones at the 3 pillars, starting with the little one, then the middle one, then the big one, and this should be done only after the sun began to decline. And on the first day, a person can throw the stones once the sun has risen. But on the other 3 days, you cannot start until after the sun begins to decline from the zenith, from the highest point in the sky. Throwing 7 pebbles at each pillar, saying Allahu Akbar with each throwing, supplicating after the little one, and supplicating after the middle one, long supplication. The Shaykh says, Yabdu bil jamratul ula, yani the stoning of the 3 pillars on the 3 days in Mina, after the first day, You should start with a little one, which is closest to Masjid al-Khayf. And when the person finished from that, then they should step forward a little bit on their right side, on the right side of the pillar. Step forward a little bit on the right side of the pillar and stand there facing the Qibla, standing for a long time, supplicating and raising their hands. Then they go to the Jamrat Thaniya, the second one, the middle one, and throw the seven stones at it. And then they should go to the left side of the pillar, and they should stand there facing the Qibla, standing for a long time, supplicating and raising their hands while doing so. And then they should go to the Jamrat Thalitha, yani Aqaba, the big one, and they throw seven stones at it, placing the Kaaba on their left side, yani Mecca being on their left side, and Mina on their right side, and they should not stop to supplicate after stoning Jamrat al-Aqaba. And then they should stone on the second day, yani meaning the 12th, and the third day, meaning the 13th, in the same way, just like this, after Zawal. Seven stones at the little one, middle one, and the big one, supplicating after the first two. If a person, in Sarafa Ba'd Ramnihi, if a person left after the second day, meaning they stoned only on the 10th, 11th, and 12th, and they didn't want to stay, yani for the next night, it's permissible to do so. But it's better to stay for the third day, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. All of these things should be done in their order according to the sunnah, if possible. Throwing the stones, making the sacrifice, shaving the head, making tawaf al-ifada and sigh for the mutamatti. All of these should be done in this order if a person is able to do so. If a person did it out of order, there is no harm. The Prophet said, la haraj, la haraj, in reference to all the questions that the people asked him. Somebody said, I did this before that. Another person said, I did something else before something else. And each time the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though they did it out of the order, he told them, la haraj, there's no harm, it's okay. Yajuz lil-ma'adhur fi rami ma'ili. Yani, some people who are excused, who have a legitimate excuse according to the Sharia, may do certain things that's outside of the Sunnah, and that is, they don't have to spend all the nights in Mina. That was, the Prophet gave permission to the people who used to give the water to the people at the Kaaba. He gave them permission not to spend the nights at Mina. They could go and do their job that they used to do. And also, it's permissible for some people, and the people who used to take care of the camels for slaughter, those people, he gave them permission to stone, yani on the first day, and then to stone at one time for 2 days, at one time. Yani instead of coming back twice, to go one time and stone for both days. Yani that's because they had special permission due to taking care of the camels. And also it's permissible for those who have difficulty, as the Prophet gave some people excuse, to throw the stones during the night. The stones should be thrown after Zawal. Yani after the entry of the time of Dhuhr, that's when it's permissible to throw the stones on the yani 11th, 12th, and 13th. Not until after the sun begins to decline. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the sunnah is to do it before Maghrib. But if a person didn't make it, then even there's permission to stone during the night. And it's permissible to leave Mina during the days of Mina. It's permissible to leave Mina during the daytime, to go to Mecca and make tawaf of the Kaaba, as the Prophet used to do every single day. But the nights should be spent in Mina, except those who have excuse. It's also permissible, it's not permissible, yajibu ala al-hajj fi ayyam Mina, yani that it's obligatory for the people who are performing hajj on the days of Mina to protect, to guard their five daily prayers, that is, performing them in congregation. And it's better for them to pray in the Masjid al-Khayf if they are able to do so, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that's the big masjid in Mina, he said, Salla fi Masjid al-Khayf sab'una nabiyyin. 70 prophets prayed in this masjid. Now, so then the Shaykh says, point number 128, page 39, فَإِذَا فَرَغَ مِنَ الرَّمِي فِي يَوْمِ الثَّانِي أَوْ الثَّالِثِ مِنْ أَيَّامِ التَّشْرِيكِ فَقَدْ إِنْتَهَى مِنْ مَنَاسِكَ الْحَجِّ. Yani if a person finished from throwing the stones on the second or third day, yani the 12th or 13th, either of them, they may leave after the 12th if they will. If they finish throwing the stones on the 12th or the 13th, if they're going to stay over, then they have finished the rites of Hajj. It's over, the Hajj is over. Then that person may go to Mecca and they may stay there as much as Allah has decreed for them. And they should be diligent in trying to perform the Salat in Jama'ah. especially in the Masjid al-Haram. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, the prayer in my masjid is better than 1,000 prayers in any other masjid besides it, except al-Masjid al-Haram. And the prayer in the Masjid al-Haram is better than 100,000 prayers in any other masjid. And the person should increase the performance of tawaf and salat while they're in Mecca, waiting to leave, at any time that they will, wa alaykum salam, of the day or the night. At any time that they will, of the day or the night. And then the Prophet, and then the Shaykh says, tawaf al-wada, then إِذَا أَنْتَهَا مِنْ قَضَاءَ هَوَاجِ. When a person finished everything that they had to do in Mecca, and they made firm decision to travel, then they should make farewell pilgrimage of the house, based on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that the people used, they were leaving, going in every direction, and the Prophet ﷺ said, no one of you should leave until the last thing he does is tawaf of the house. And it used to be that the woman who was in the menses, she was ordered to remain in Mecca until she was free from her menses and made the farewell tawaf. And then the Prophet gave permission for them, yani as a facility, that they didn't have to wait, that they may leave. And then finally, the last thing that the Shaykh mentions, point number 133, he said, when a person leaves after the tawaf al-wada, that they should go out of the masjid the same way that a person normally leaves, that is going out forward, not going out backwards. And they should leave, yani stepping out with their left foot, first going out of the masjid, saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa sallam, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. That's the end of what he made, until he mentioned the bid'ah of Hajj. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.